Welcome back, everybody, to our Let's Talk Green County program presented by the Community State Bank in Peyton. This is Coltrane Carlson, and our guest today is our State Senator Jerry Bain, now joining us after the legislative session resumed late last week. So thank you very much, Senator Bain, for being on.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, Coltrane. Great to talk to you.
All right. Well, the legislative session, Senator Bain, got kicked back off on June 3rd after taking a temporary adjournment since mid-March because of COVID-19 concerns. How does the Senate chamber look nowadays with COVID-19 precautions now in play?
Yeah, you bet. There is a lot of difference. Typically, there are two committee rooms behind the chamber. Those two committee rooms have essentially been closed for committees. We're literally having committees of the whole out in the Senate chamber. And the Senate chamber itself has changed dramatically. Typically, there is a senator's desk with his chair, and right next to his chair is where the secretary sits, and they've got their own little desk space as well. So in an effort to maintain the social distancing aspect of this, they literally removed all the secretary's chairs. There are no secretaries here, and so we're having to do all our own emails and take care of all our own stuff. And so if anybody has emailed me and I haven't gotten back to you yet, I profusely apologize, but I don't have my secretary here, and so things are going much slower than normal. In order to even get in the Capitol, walk by a desk. There's somebody there to take your temperature when you enter it. Masks are recommended if you're going to be in close proximity to somebody else, but not required. One of the things I found out is it's very difficult to actually talk or carry on much of a conversation with some of those masks, and so you'll see some people wearing them. Most of the lobbyists have on masks. When you're going to sit down and actually have a meeting, it's pretty tough to talk through those. So I have one in my briefcase. If I'm going to actually talk to somebody up close, I can wear one. But things are really going along, I would say, very smoothly. And I would say that for as long of a time off as we had, we really hit the ground running. And I think things are progressing really quick. We're talking about getting done next week. I don't know if that'll come to fruition or not, but that's what we're going to try to do.
All right. So, of course, one of the bigger main topics is about the state's budget and setting that up before the beginning of next fiscal year. Tell us a little bit about what's going on there.
There's a lot of unknowns as to what the Wuhan flu would actually do and how it would affect us. We did actually have the Revenue Estimating Conference meet. They came up with a number that was decreased over their previous projection, was decreased by $360 million. The budget that we're attempting to put together now would maintain the funding increase for the schools that we passed back in January. And the rest of the budget would be referred to what I call status quo, where it's just the same as it was. There wouldn't be any increases or anything. We don't believe that now is the time to increase or grow government. We think Iowa families are tightening their budgets. They're having to be cautious as they look to the future. We think we should do the same thing down here. So we want to continue to use the same responsible budgeting processes that we used before. And due to the fact that for the last several years, we have done a good job, I want to pat the Republicans on the back here, that in the legislature, we've passed some conservative, responsible, and what we refer to as sustainable budgets. And so now that has helped us, because now our cash reserve is full and our economic emergency fund is full. Those two funds together is what everybody used to affectionately refer to as the rainy day fund. We believe if we maintain the current budget, we should be okay.
I also recently learned that the Senate passed a bill on taxing on fuel. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Ethanol has been a big thing for rural communities. It's created jobs in rural communities, and it has been an outlet for some of the surplus corn that we have on hand. One of the things that was going to happen is there has been in the past what we refer to as a differential, and it just means there's a tax reduction on the road use tax on ethanol. That was set to expire, and so there would have been no differential, and the fuel tax would have all been the same. And currently, Iowa's fuel tax is right at 30 cents, and this would make, if on E15 ethanol, for example, the fuel tax would be 25.5 cents. So that would give retailers a 4.5 cent incentive to lower the price of ethanol and make it even more competitive and encourage use in the state, which is going to help the economy in multiple ways. the background on that is it was set to expire this year, and we just extended it another 5 years.
And another bill that I saw the Senate recently passed last week was the exact same bill that it looked like the House had previously passed about medical marijuana, of which you voted in favor of.
Well, I did, and I voted against that last time. And the reason I voted against it last time is the bill didn't even follow the recommendations of the very medicine board that we created to study the topic and to give the legislature recommendations from a medical standpoint. Well, this time around, the bill mirrors what the recommendations of that board were. And so even though I like to share that I'm extremely conflicted as to whether or not I should have voted for this thing. Now, it ended up passing 32-17. It had an odd mix of Republicans and Democrats voting for it. One of the reasons I have voted opposed to these bills in the past is right now, marijuana on a federal level is classified as a Schedule I. And a Schedule I drug, by definition, is a drug that is addictive and has no medicinal value. Well, in my opinion, that needs to be changed at the federal level, get it to a Schedule II, which puts it in the same classification as our current painkillers and other drugs that we have, where it may be addictive, but it may have medicinal value. But in the meantime, if it were a Schedule II drug, then we would be allowed to have United States testing of it and run it through double-blind studies, test it for efficacy, see how well it works, test it for safety, test it up against a placebo, do all the things with it that we normally do with drugs so that we can actually get some bona fide scientific information so we don't have to rely on international studies as opposed to the United States study. I kind of like to keep an eye on that because it just seems like today it's easier to buy the results that you want if you pay for a study. So I want to be sure they're unbiased studies and we get some real scientific data on this so we can determine what is the appropriate use for medical marijuana. Well, in the meantime, since they followed the board and they did do what we tasked them to do from last year, I thought, well, I'll go ahead and vote for it. We'll get it out there and see. But I just don't think it's the right way to go about medical issues is through the legislative process. I think it's a lot better if the doctors and the medical communities do the testing, the pharmaceutical companies do the testing.
And that's our guest for today's Let's Talk Green County program here with our State Senator Jerry Bain joining us once again. Community State Bank in Payton is an independent, locally owned bank in business since 1956. Back with more here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.